We have now been in space for many weeks. Here is a list of the things I miss most on Earth. Wallpaper, pickles, the smell of photocopier toner, rain hitting the roof of a bus stop, shopping trolleys that veer to the left, shopping trolleys that veer to the right, pigeons with mangled feet, sticky cinema floors, clown wigs, yogurt lids, escalators, garden gnomes, Jason Cundy.
It has been suggested that all of the staff, residents and guests at Moth Hotel are, in fact, moths. This is, of course, nonsense. I think I speak on behalf of everyone at the hotel when I say that if we were moths, we would know we were moths. Dogs know that they are dogs. Cats know that they are cats. And moths know that they are moths. Furthermore, anyone who has been listening to this podcast for the past 15 weeks will know that none of the segments, storylines, or activities that have taken place could possibly have been undertaken by creatures other than human beings. Moths do not have hands. We don't drink wine, we don't dream about biscuits, and we do not travel in elevators. Okay, we do dream about biscuits and travel in elevators, but those are just two isolated examples. We are moths. Sorry, I meant to say we are not moths.
Ground floor, LED shoelaces, self-watering diaries, and edible postcards. First floor, transparent puzzles, magnetic chessboards, and reversible neckties. Second floor, voice-controlled lamps, plush toy organizers, and bacon-flavored toothpaste. Third floor, Bert Kwok.
Little pigs, I keep forgetting to take my medication. Luckily, the voices in my head remind me. My imaginary doctor says I'm not doing so well, so now I just chase the mailman for advice.
I shall now read the minutes of the last meeting. Item 1. The fire escape on the roof has grown taller and now points directly upwards. Several pigeons attempted the ascent and did not return. Item 2. The boardroom table developed a slow heartbeat. We voted unanimously to ignore it. Item 3. Janet reported finding a horizon inside her desk drawer. We advised her to keep it shut during office hours, but to make notes. Item 4. Bacon sandwiches were served.
Incoming news transmission from Earth. Scientists warn that the moon is shrinking, not in mass, but in ambition. Observatories report that it spends long periods hiding behind clouds, refusing to shine, as though it is ashamed of its former grandeur. Amateur astronomers note it sometimes flits out of alignment, peeking nervously like a timid actor at a poorly lit stage. Poetry about the moon has reportedly declined by 17%, and nighttime romance appears correspondingly muted. Authorities are debating whether to issue moon encouragement grants or simply accept its existential withdrawal. Meanwhile, tides continue, but they are quieter, as though obeying the moon's newfound reticence. Some philosophers suggest the universe itself has a sense of humour. The celestial bodies decide their own schedules, and Earthlings are left consulting calendars that may not exist. Observers recommend quiet patience and occasional applause when the moon dares to appear.
Here is today's mission update. The rocket engines of Moth Hotel are producing a faint melody again. Engineering believes it is a love song, though no one agrees on who it is addressed to. Staff morale has dipped since the artificial gravity briefly reversed itself yesterday. The restaurant ceiling has been restocked with chairs. But soup remains a very sore subject. We crossed paths yesterday with a derelict probe, carrying an archive of human laughter. The recordings looped endlessly until they slowed to silence. Some swear they can still hear the faint chuckles in their sleep. The search for Melton Thornaby continues. This morning his name tag was discovered on the floor of the lift. It was warm to the touch, as if recently worn. No one recalls seeing him step inside. I do not believe that he is on board. He is surely still imprisoned on the alien ship, of which there has been no sign since we left Earth.
Take the second left, then proceed straight for 3.6 light years. Pivot right towards the vast expanse of mild panic, shimmering with cosmic vibration. Turn left at the drowsy asteroid, which stays open late on Fridays. Decelerate near the almost important planet, where nothing happens that warrants attention, yet everything feels vaguely consequential. Turn right, then glide past the moons of awkward silence, which orbit with hesitant politeness. Turn left, then carefully traverse the belt of temporarily lost trousers, which resonates with minor cosmic mystery. Align with the comet of inexplicable nostalgia, its path curling as if to whisper forgotten joys. Adjust thrusters for final approach to the space station of vaguely unsettling serenity. You have arrived at your destination. You do not have to stay.
Broadsword calling Danny Boy. Broadsword calling Danny Boy. The toilet roll has rolled under the door and I cannot reach it. Over.
Time for relativity speaking with me, Mary Berry. The twin paradox confounds the easily bored. One twin blasts through space at near-light speed while the other lounges at home tending plants and existential regrets. Upon return, the traveller has aged slightly, looking suspiciously youthful, whereas the homebody has aged decades, memorized every old sitcom, and developed a passive-aggressive fondness for their sibling. The universe, as usual, watches quietly, enjoying this absurdity. It's like sending a postcard through time, except one twin arrives with grey hairs and a stack of cosmic grievances. Relativity teaches that time is negotiable, elastic, and occasionally cruel. So, at the next family reunion, smile politely, check your chronometers, and marvel. The universe doesn't care who you are, just how fast or slow you've been moving. Time, it appears, is a sibling who never shares candy. I need a drink.
The umbrella plant is dead. It wilted away slowly, as if surrendering to an unseen melancholy. Its once vibrant green leaves are now shriveled and brown, drooping lifelessly over the edge of its pot. Some say it took its own life. Perhaps it grew weary of the increasingly weak sunlight, the inconsistent watering, or the neglectful glances from guests. Maybe it longed for a gentle breeze. Whatever the reason for its demise, the umbrella plant now stands as a silent testament to the fragility of life, a withered echo of its former beauty. As soon as we return to Earth, I shall buy a cactus.
I'm Melton Thornaby. It is now 10 weeks since I was abducted by aliens. My quarters are more comfortable than I deserve. The bed is vast, stretching far beyond my reach, yet always holding me at its exact center. It is neither soft nor hard, but perfectly attuned to the architecture of my spine, as if it knows me better than I know myself. The sheets shift color according to my pulse, soft grays when calm, sudden crimsons when I dream. I have learned not to look too closely. At night, the walls emit a faint murmur, not quite song, not quite machinery, something between a lullaby and an instruction manual. I fall asleep instantly, as if compelled. Yet I often wake with the uncanny sensation that I have been elsewhere, walking along a shore I do not know, speaking to voices that do not belong to me. The parish assures me I have not left the room. Their smiles, of course, suggest otherwise. Even the air feels curated. Breathing here is easier than breathing on Earth, as though oxygen were being filtered for thought as well as survival. I have come to dread returning to Earth's heavy atmosphere. Comfort, it seems, is a trap so subtle you only notice it when you are too far inside to escape.
During its travels through the cosmos this week, Moth Hotel has collected the following artifacts of interest. A vial of starlight condensed into a liquid that smells faintly of nostalgia and ozone. Harvested from the supernovae of Gera 7, it glows faintly, as though hesitant to exist. Market value, 1 million galactic credits. Also, a hat that occasionally disappears and returns elsewhere in the galaxy. Origin unknown. Wearers report sudden insights into their own insignificance. Price. One small secret and a coin from your home planet. Finally, a carved bone from a creature that may have never existed. Found floating in the void near Nebula 96. Collectors would pay dearly for one of these, though few would dare wear it.
We have a new piece of technology aboard the Moth Hotel, the Silence Distributor. Its installation was subtle, an absence stitched into the wall panels where previously there had been a low background hiss. The distributor provides curated silences to different parts of the ship. Each silence has a distinct density. Library silence, grave silence, abandoned house silence, and most popular, silence before an explosion. Science explains this through acoustic negative mass, a phrase designed to prevent questions. The purpose, supposedly, to regulate sanity. Prolonged spaceflight fills the air with the same recycled chatter, and silence must be imported to reset the auditory climate. But the silences linger strangely. Entire corridors now feel like pauses in a conversation that never resumes. Staff report emerging from the rooms filled with a sensation not unlike having been politely interrupted by eternity itself. No one dares request the silence after someone has left you. It is on the menu, however, and glows faintly red as though waiting to be chosen.
A new painting has appeared above the mantelpiece in the guest lounge. The frame, ornate with gilded swirls and faint traces of dust, suggests age. Yet the colours within the image gleam with unsettling vibrancy. The scene depicted is both familiar and alien. A landscape that twists on the edge of memory. Trees lean at impossible angles, their shadows stretching into shapes that seem to watch. And peering from behind a blasted oak, the face of Shia LaBeouf, his huge moustache seeming to grow in size, even as we gaze upon it, no one dares to remove the painting. I may throw a can of soup at it.
We just encountered a planet whose surface is riddled with colossal craters, filled not with water but with thousands of clocks. Their hands do not move, yet the shadows they cast crawl steadily across the landscape. The ground between them is littered with broken dials, fractured glass, and faint ticking. The atmosphere is breathable but heavy, as though each breath is slightly overdue. Staff members complained of feeling late, though for what, none could specify. We detected figures moving across the clock faces, tiny silhouettes resembling children at play. When observed directly, they vanish. When ignored, laughter can be heard. There are no stars visible from the surface, only a black sky, and occasionally, the reflection of Moth Hotel as though seen from a future in which it has already departed. Recommendation: mark as temporarily safe, permanently unsettling.
While Moth Hotel is in transit, we have devised various leisure activities for the guests and residents to help pass the time. This week's favorite is zero-G dodgeball. The rules are much like the Earth version: avoid the ball or be eliminated. The difference is that in zero gravity, dodging sends you spinning helplessly across the chamber, easy prey for the next throw. The arena is a small padded sphere in the guest lounge, with competitors floating inside like fish in a bowl. The soft foam balls ricochet endlessly, bouncing off walls, ceilings, and players. Tracking them is nearly impossible. Hits are often less the result of skill than cruel chance. Teams learn quickly that positioning is everything. The best players anchor themselves lightly to the walls, pushing off at the last possible moment to evade. The less experienced flail midair, arms pinwheeling, shouting as the ball bounces slowly but inevitably toward their face. The match ends when only one player remains. They are celebrated briefly, though most are still too dizzy to appreciate victory. The prize is a fresh towel. No one complains.
Please comply with the following instructions to exit this podcast. Key your exit code very carefully. Your code is PiSign22 little b, open square brackets, hyphen, omega 5, angry face, 19, big L, question mark, upside down 7, caret 2, 6, Beyonce with a small b. Don't forget your umbrella. It looks like rain.
Ah, Moth Hotel was written and produced by Brian Luff. Music by Kevin MacLeod. Voice technology by 11 Labs. All celebrity voices were impersonated. Moth Hotel was a Sowerby and Luff production for Studio Senseless.
If you believe it will make a difference, email us, mothhotel@studiosenseless.com.